present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Andre Merry in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. Well, once again, we have four experienced players of the game, and I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject, without, of course, hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject which is written on the card in front of me. And again, according to how well they do it, they will gain points, or their opponents will. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, always a good one to start any show, but can you talk this week on relativity for 60 seconds, starting now?
It just so happens that this is a favourite subject of mine. I think it would be true to say that we associate the name Einstein invariably with the word relativity, because it was his theory which out-Newtons, so to speak, the previously held ideas on this subject. You see, he...
Peter Jones has challenged you.
Repetition of subject.
I agree with your challenge of repetition, Peter. You therefore gain a point. You take over the subject. There are 33.5 seconds left. Relativity starting now.
Well, I'm not going to challenge anything that Kenneth Williams has said about Einstein or relativity. I think he put it extremely well. It was unfortunate that he did repeat this one word, but apart from that, I think he got the facts more or less right. Now, this was perhaps the biggest contribution that anyone had made to scientific thought in this century. Now, the atomic bomb and the hydrogen, same thing, was also...
Kenneth Williams...
Deviation. Neither of these subjects are to do with the theory of relativity. The atom bomb and the hydrogen bomb, what's he on about? He's discussing nuclear fission. Nothing to do with it.
Yes, but the problem is...
There's no but the problem is...
Yes, there's a problem.
I should have it back. He pinched it off me and I hadn't even got down to discussing it.
He just said he thought you did it brilliantly.
Yeah, well, I hadn't.
He can't accept a compliment.
It goes in one ear with him and out the other.
I think you have a very good challenge in the fact that he's now gone to nuclear fission and so forth.
Yes, that's right.
But at
Nicholas.
The same time, who is to say...
Who indeed? Yes. Except you. Oh, no better that, than you that, to that say, that love.
Einstein's...
You're a lovely chairman. You know your onions, eh? No flies on him.
But all right, I think this audience... This audience has just freshly arrived. I'm sure that they are all keen to hear you go a little longer on relativity. So
they may not be clued up on relativity.
No, that's
audience.
What I'm anxious to do.
Exactly. Well, I'd like you to carry on.
Thank
I'm
you.
Quite happy.
Well,
about
well, that's very kind. You helped me out of a difficult problem, Peter. You're being very generous, very sporting, very gentlemanly, because it's a debatable decision. But I give it the benefit of the doubt to Kenneth, a point in 3 seconds, starting now.
Well, the Einstein theory discards the
Clement
conception
Freud challenge you.
Of time.
Repetition of Einstein.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Clement Freud, you get the point and the subject, and there's 1 second left starting now.
Einstein.
Just have heard the whistle being blown by Ian Messiter. It does tell us that 60 seconds is up. Whoever speaks when the whistle is blown gains an extra point. This occasion it was Clement Freud who has a lead at the end of that round. Peter Jones, will you start the next round? The subject is being thorough. Will you talk on that now for just 1 minute, starting now?
This is something that you really can't be too particular about. You must get all the information you can, make a study of the subject, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Go to a library, borrow books if you can, get postal courses, find out from friends whether they know anything about it. And then, when you have acquired as much knowledge as you possibly can...
Andre Melly has challenged.
I think there were two knowledges.
No, there weren't.
No, I misheard.
Several acquired, but not two knowledges.
Yes, it was too late for the acquired now, but the knowledge was there. You had this impression of great knowledge being acquired, so you thought he repeated it.
Yes, he didn't.
I disagree with the challenge, Andre, and there are 38 seconds on being thorough starting now.
And then get all the ingredients around you in the room, clean it up, and really sit down with the books that you have...
Peter, Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of books.
Yes, I'm afraid afraid you did have a book before, and so we've had books before. Being thorough is now with you, Clement, and there are 29 seconds left, starting now.
What I like to be really thorough about is my boots. I put them on every morning after taking them off each night, and I lace up each shoe, both the left...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, boots and shoes.
If he puts his boots on, how can he lace up his shoes? Yes.
Well, he might, but I mean, it would be very eccentric.
Very genius. I agree with your challenge, Peter. You have 15 seconds on being thorough, starting now.
I, on the other hand, place my footwear at the bottom of the stairs, and beside them I...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, only hesitation, just. It was a tough one, but I think it was just enough to be a hesitation. And there are 7.5 seconds on being thorough with you, Clement, starting now.
Pants, vest, shirt, tie.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
This is an inventory of clothing. It's nothing to do with
it. It might be an inventory of clothing, but it might have something to
do with
it. The subject
is being thorough, dear.
We don't know. He's only been going for 2 or 3 seconds, so
he's only got 5 more seconds to go. He hasn't time to prove that he's talking about
you. Precisely. Exactly. Very good point, Peter. Yes.
But Peter wasn't challenging. You were.
Yes, but I was just seconding his challenge.
Yeah, you got a third, Andre?
Yes.
Doesn't make any difference. I disagree with it.
Right.
There are 4.5 seconds with you, Clement, on being thorough, starting now.
Read your book.
Andre Melly challenge.
Hesitation.
3.5 seconds. No, that's right. 3.5 seconds on being thorough with you, Clement, starting now.
Digest your homework with the utmost...
They're all trying the Clement Freud trick of getting in just before the whistle. On that occasion, it wasn't successful, Andre. Clement Freud increased his lead to have a commanding one at the end of that round. But, Andre, we're now going to hear from you, because it's your turn to begin. The subject is fillings. Would you talk on fillings for just 60 seconds, starting now?
His eyes were full of delight, and his face was close to mine. My mouth was open at the time, and he breathed, "You've got the most beautiful gold inlay I have ever seen." And he was absolutely right, because I may have pearly gates in the front, but at the back it's a kind of Aladdin's cave. It's the expensive kind, because I once got caught with a gold...
Clement Freud has challenged. Why?
Two kinds.
Mm. Yes, alas. Kind. So, Clement, you have the subject.
I think it's a mistake to have women on this show. I think I...
And the women think it's a mistake to have you on the show. There are 36 seconds with you, Clement, on fillings, starting now.
If you get 2 pieces of cake, then what you find between them is often known as a filling, whether it be butter or cream. If it contains nuts or pistachios, almonds or cherries, fruit of any kind whatsoever, sometimes refreshed with liqueur, at other times moistened with wine.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, I was going to say times, but of course the first was sometimes, so I'm absolutely ruined. Word,
as you've said before, you've been
posted... Yes, what a shame. I'm sorry, Clement. I do apologize. Will you accept that apology?
Why do you have to apologize? He gets a point for a wrong challenge.
Yes, I will accept it.
He accepted the apology, and he's got the subject. He has 15 seconds left. Filling, starting now.
If you grasp a chicken in your left hand and force some breadcrumbs into the middle of it...
Kenneth Williams has...
That's a complete deviation. The subject is fillings, not getting older chickens and...
Well, if you've got a chicken in your left hand and force something into its inside, you'd certainly be filling it, wouldn't you? I don't think, really, to be quite fair, that he was deviating from the subject on the card filling, so...
But he did repeat about the putting it in the middle of the chicken, because he talked about...
But that
about...
wasn't Kenneth's challenge, unfortunately.
No, but it is mine.
It's a bit late now, because Kenneth got in first, and I have to be accurate.
Oh, I see.
What a pity.
I'd no idea. I've never had any impression that you were accurate. Yes.
I will find an opportunity to get back at you on that one, Peter. There are 8 seconds left now with you, Clement, on filling, starting now.
This is especially true in the case of dead, late lamented, or deceased birds, because where they live...
All those horrible thoughts that Clement aroused in our minds with his fillings. took him further into the lead at the end of that run. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? The subject, Luxor, or Luxor, as some people say, would you talk on it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I don't know why they gave it to me. I suppose it's the one on the Nile they're referring to in Egypt. It used to be called Thebes in the ancient days. And there, of course, Amenhotep built the great temple to Amun. And many of the later rulers of Egypt put this...
Clement Freud has challenged twice.
Repetition of Egypt.
I'm afraid so. You had Egypt more than once, yes. Ian Messiter gives you these lovely historical subjects, but alas, you often repeat the salient words in them. Clement, a correct challenge, 36 seconds on Luxor, starting now.
I was very privileged to have been invited by the Egyptian tourist office to visit Luxor last Christmas, and I enjoyed it enormously, although the temperature was inclement, or to put it another way, in the high 90s. One of the most beautiful trips you can take is from Cairo down the River Nile to Luxor in a boat which...
Peter Jones has challenged.
I thought he was up the Nile.
I suppose it's the way you think. Yes, because you're going up to the...
No, you're going down to the...
You're going down on the map, but
that's
you're
right.
Going up, up the river.
I was going down on the map.
What's that?
No, you're not on the map.
You go up to Scotland or down to Scotland.
And not even the Egyptian tourist office can get you against the stream, you know. They can't.
If you're going from Cairo, you must be going upstream. Therefore, you must be going up the river and not. If you look at it on the map, you'd appear to be going down. But I agree with Peter's challenge. You're actually going up because you're going upstream. Luxor is now with you, Peter. And there are 7 seconds left starting now.
Luxor is one of the many cities that the Egyptian tourist board has never invited me to. And I don't expect they probably ever will.
Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle went, and he has gained that point for doing so. And he is now very definitely in second place. Clement Freud is in a commanding lead. Andre Melly and Kenneth Williams are hardly in it at the present moment. Peter, will you begin the next round? The subject, what I do in a crowded train. He's thinking about what he does in the crowded train. I've given him time for thought, and will you now talk on the subject for 60 seconds, starting now.
What I do in a crowded train, not very much, because, of course, it's terribly dangerous. When I find myself on a tube which is crowded at the rush hour, and I'm standing holding on to the strap, and I find that my nose is a few inches away from the nasal organ of someone else, and they happen to reveal that they've watched me on television the night before and didn't enjoy it, I do find it acutely embarrassing. And I have to read all the advertisements about blackcurrant pastilles and curious office jobs that are always being advertised on these conveyances. Now, when one's hands are occupied with the strap, one has to...
Enjoying it. Andre Melly, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Peter, I have to agree with Andre's challenge, so there are 12 seconds with you, Andre, on what I do in a crowded train, starting now.
What I do in a crowded train is something that Peter Jones, Kenneth Williams, and Clement Freud couldn't possibly manage. I look pregnant. And then...
Peter Jones has challenged.
I frequently look pregnant. I've tried slimming biscuits, but there's no question about it. I do have this enormous swelling. And I do have dizzy spells early in the morning.
Well, you see,
particularly when I get up terribly quickly.
What a difficult decision for you to make, because while we all know it is impossible for Peter to be pregnant, who cannot say that...
Yes, that I'll grant you that.
It is possible for him, perhaps, to say that he looks pregnant. In fact, sometimes people do say, you know, jocularly, you know, you don't half look pregnant.
But they do, yeah, they do, yes. They do. And they're not being all that jocular very often.
No, perhaps. perhaps they're not. All right, Peter, I think we will give you that challenge because it was a very good one. And you've got in magnificently with only 2 seconds to go. What I do in a crowded train starting now.
It gives a new meaning to that phrase.
Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained the extra point. Andre Melly got a point in that round. She's now got one in this game. And Kenneth Williams has got 1 point. Clement Foy, will you begin the next round? The subject, the family economy size. That's a nice subject to talk on, and will you go on it for 60 seconds starting now?
The family economy size is a name given to a large packet in which what you spill, you don't pay for. It's really just...
Kenneth Williams' challenge.
Deviation. In which what you spill, you can't pay for. I mean, this makes no sense whatsoever. In which what you spill, you can't... I have never heard it.
Actually, Kenneth,
this large packet in which what you spill... I mean, in which...
If you say it like that, in which what you spill, it does sound very... devious.
Of course
but
it
if
is.
You say
devious,
in which...
dramatically devious, I'm afraid. So therefore the subject goes to me. How many seconds left?
I think that he, when keeping going under pressure, it is difficult sometimes with grammar.
I wasn't pressing him. He had no pressure on him at all.
I know you were very generous to him a little while ago. I think he will be generous to you now because he has a commanding lead, and you've only one little point there. So we'll let you have the benefit of the doubt and the subject. The family economy size, Kenneth, 50 seconds left, starting now.
The family economy size should be just two children. The other...
Clement Freud is challenged.
I'd like him to have another little point.
Yeah.
You're going to give him the family economy size point. You have 46 seconds on the family economy size, Kenneth, starting now.
You hear a lot today about the family explosion, and there is a great deal of apprehension that sooner or later there won't be a cupboard in which you can stuff any of your progeny or your proclivities, depending on your inclinations in that direction. Now, if you've got a gomphosis... then you're really in the...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of gomphosis. He did say it earlier on, didn't he?
I have
he
not
regularly says gomphosis all
yes,
the time.
I thought he'd said it earlier. Yes.
I have not mentioned it on this show. This audience have never heard gomphosis before, have you?
No, nobody's... Nobody's heard gomphosis
before.
No,
it was a mistake on my part. I misheard it. Sounded very like it.
So Kenneth gets another point for a wrong challenge. 14 and a half seconds, the family economy size, starting now.
And the chair occupied by the head of the family, traditionally known as the carver because of its arms.
Peter Jones' challenge.
The repetition of family.
Yes, we've had family.
It's on the title, you great nit! You're allowed to quote the title, aren't you, you
the
great
title?
Fool? But pull yourself together. He's gone funny and he's...
The title is just a minute.
No, no.
The subject is the family economy size, which you can repeat.
There you are, yes. You fool. The
wait a minute, you fool.
Not fragmentarily. You can't fragment it, can you?
Well, he has used the word family outside the context of the subject on the
twice,
card.
Twice.
And now he has repeated family.
I know he has.
So therefore,
I am
agree with you. It's all right, though. Yes. I agree with you. So you have a point for a correct challenge, Peter, and you have 11 seconds the family economy size starting now.
I've taught my children mathematics by taking out the contents from these large packets and weighing them and working out how much it costs. And you often find that they are much more expensive than the smaller packets.
The fun that Peter Jones must have at home. But, Andre, we're now going to hear from you because it's your turn to begin. The subject is secrets. Huh? 60 seconds on that, Andre, starting now.
Secrets are really very frustrating things. The whole point about them is you're supposed to keep them, and the great fun is to go right away and tell them to somebody else. For children, secrets are very dramatic. I remember having hot, sticky faces pressed up against my ear, my hair pulled back, and a whispery voice going and telling you that Patsy Wilde hasn't got her knickers on and never, never go and tell her. No, you say, and cross your heart, and off you go right away to that Nicholas infant and tell her what you've been told.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of tell.
Yes, she told, that's right. Yes. And then she tells again. Peter, you listened well and you got in with a good challenge, and there are 20 seconds on secrets starting now.
Well, I'm not going to reveal mine until I can't get any other kind of work. And then I'm going to write a book about all the people I've met in this business. And she'll probably reveal the secret of Kenneth Williams and what we did behind...
Andre Merritt.
There was a very kind of a hesitation.
Yes, well, that was just a tactful pause. I mean, it was...
Yes, because he thought he might have to reveal it, so he paused. Yeah. But you were not allowed to pause in this game, Peter, so Andre has another point. There are 3 seconds on secrets, Andre, starting now.
Grown-ups like to have them, too. They start by saying...
Andre was then speaking when the whistle went. And she has moved forward at the end of that round, but she's still in fourth place. Kenneth's in third place. Peter's in a very good second place now, but Clement Freud is still in the lead. And Kenneth, will you begin the next round? What a lovely subject that Ian Messer has thought of for you. High spirits. High spirits, Kenneth. Will you talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I suppose this could refer to having a drop of something or other on top of Everest, or it could mean being excessively joyous and full of an infectious joie vivre, bonhomie, or what you will. Will-o'-the-wisp sometimes has been referred to as this kind of thing. Of course, there is a spiritualistic attitude, I believe, whereby they manifest these things, ectoplasmic, and all stuff goes all over the stinking place till you feel as though someone's brought their haddock for breakfast, you know, into the room with them, and the smell, it can be atrocious. I was at one once, and it was absolutely revolting, because this woman said she had a message from the other side, you see, and she kept saying, "You will cry water." I thought, well, that could mean anything. I'm standing over a puddle, couldn't I? I mean, all this, your lucky sandwich, filling your salmon and shrimp. Oh, your lucky stone is gold. I thought, well, that could mean it.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
Repetition of lucky.
Yes, this woman tell you too many lucky things. Your lucky puddle and your lucky sandwich spilling and all that. Clement Freud, you got in very cleverly just before the whistle. There are only 2.5 seconds left. High spirits starting now.
Whiskey, gin, rum, brandy.
I'm afraid we have no more time to play Just a Minute. We do hope you've enjoyed it, because we've had it. Have you enjoyed it in the audience?
No.
Oh, good. I would now just, if you just keep very quiet for a minute, I would like to ask our listeners if they've enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it, listeners?
Yes.
Thank you for answering back down your telephones, listeners. See them all shouting at the wirelesses, and you took out the call. Ladies and gentlemen, I now must give you the final score. I must say, that's the funniest thing that's ever happened, us and the listeners, and you all in the audience shout. Andre Merritt, after winning magnificently the last time you were with us, you finished up with 3 points. We love to have you here. You do jolly well, but you didn't do quite so well this week. Kenneth did quite well, but all those Luxors and things, you know. And Peter Jones, you did very well. You did very well indeed. You got 10 points. You did jolly well. But nobody... It wasn't worth a clap. But Clement Freud is once again the winner, Clement Freud. Ladies and gentlemen, we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.